It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It is Matt Slick Live. Listen to Matt Slick. It's the 9th of December, 2019. And may the Lord bless you. Hope you have a good time listening today. And if you want, you can give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to say thank you for those of you who contributed in the GoFundMe that we did for the three computers, one for Africa, one for Brazil, and one for Colombia, our missionaries in those countries. And I just want to say thank you. And the money's being transferred. We're going to take care of everything. And they will then go out and buy the computers locally, just exactly what they need. You guys were great. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. And I just want to let you know that we have a donor who will, through the end of the year, do a what's called a matching fund. So I'll just be letting you guys know for the rest of the year that that's what's going to be happening. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, any new donations we get, any new anything. So if you were to donate $25 once, then that is matched with another $25. If you did $10 a month, then that's, you know, for a year. That's how we'll calculate it out. That'd be $120. And then that will get matched with an additional $120. So that's how it works. And if you want to support us, all you, and, you know, make things count, you can double, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate and carm.org/donate, and you can figure it out from there. All right, we don't have any callers waiting, so let me get the number out again. And I'm thinking about doing some teaching on something because of a debate I had on Saturday night. So if no one calls, then I'll teach for a little bit. It'll be a little provocative. It should be interesting. But if you want to call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Oh, before I let you know, before I get going here, I know that a lot of people want to know what's happening to the forums. I have to order four hard drives. We're going to raise the money to pay for the hard drives. They'll be sent out to a data center in Texas, and then they'll be installed, and then what we're going to do is install the software on there. We'll have a new location and a new everything for the drives, and everything should be good. And just saying hi to the people who have joined in Facebook. It's Matt Yester, David Hagen, Bashir Yakub, John Baker, Aaron Shavavaloff. And may the Lord bless all of you guys for tuning in and listening. All right, again, five open lines, 877-207-2276. So there was an atheist. He's a semi-well-known kind of atheist named Skylar Fiction. And he and I debated about a week and a half ago on, I forgot what we debated on. Oh, is there evidence for God or something like that? And let's just say he didn't do very well. He was rude and rather condescending and some other things. And so I thought it went very well, at least on my side. I was able to answer his objections and ask things he couldn't deal with, of course. It's atheism. And so he wanted round two with me, and he wanted to do objective versus subjective morals. And I, okay, fine, let's do it. So Saturday, we had a two-hour, let's just say, debate. But a lot of people made comments about it, and it's, some don't call it a debate. Some call it, or referencing it as being a brouhaha. Skylar repeatedly interrupted me, was demeaning and kind of condescending. And I just repeatedly, just answered patiently. And people were commenting about that. Now, I was just able to stay calm the whole time while he, I'd give him an answer, or he'd ask me a question, I'd give him an answer. He'd get on his phone while I'm answering. And I said, hey, if you want to, you know, you want the answer, why are you not listening to me? And he said, you're not answering the way I want. You know, basically, that's what it was saying is, I don't answer the way he wants me to answer. Well, nevertheless, so something came up, and he thought that what he would do is corner me by, a theological position, dealing with God's decrees and God decreeing bad things to happen. And therefore, God is causing them to be happening. And so therefore, that's an internal inconsistency within Christianity. And I said, no, it's not an internal inconsistency. First of all, you don't understand what God's decrees are. And so I thought what I would do is go over some of this a little bit right now and do some theology teaching, which I think might be helpful. And a lot of you will already have known this stuff, but a lot of you won't. So what I'm going to do is discuss the issue of God's decrees, predestination, and man's free will. Can they work together? And the answer is an undoubtedly strong, absolutely yes. I'm going to show you something here. But first, by definition, a decree is God's action and or decision to bring a certain event to pass. Now, he decreed directly, in one sense, he decreed directly by saying, let there be light. And so that was a direct decree and a direct action of direct involvement of God. However, he would say things like, do not lie. And yet he will permit people to lie. So we have to ask a question. Does God decree that people lie? Well, there is a sense in which the answer is yes, and a sense in which the answer is no. A sense in which the answer is yes is that God works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. Even though we might lie about something which is against his will, he wills to permit it. So we have to understand that in a sense, God has a will where he does not want us to do something, but he has a will in which he permits us to do what he does not want us to do. So we say in theology there's a prescriptive will and there is a permissive will, prescription, in that he says, don't lie, don't steal. That's his prescription. He prescribes that as a moral standard. But yet, at the same time, he also wills that we be able to lie. Now, what it means by he wills that we be able to lie is not he is not causing us to lie, but he wills to allow us to lie in that he wills us to be able, he wills that we have the freedom to disobey him. And of course, we could not disobey him if it wasn't his will to allow us to disobey him because of free will. I'm going to talk about free will in a little bit. When we relate this idea of freedom to decrees, God has a direct and an indirect decree. A direct decree is let there be light. An indirect decree is he puts in places those things by which evil will come to pass, but he's not the one responsible for the evil, because he is not directly causing it. He's indirectly causing it or indirectly allowing it. You could say it either way, depending on how we want to define the issue of causation. So people will then say, well, if he puts people in a situation knowing what they're going to choose, then he's forcing them to do that. And that's not the case. I'll explain why. Free will is the ability to make choices that are consistent with your nature, where those choices are not coerced. Now, a lot of people will fall prey to my trick question, which is this. Does free will mean that you have to be able to desire to do something good and bad and be able to choose good and bad? And that's what free will is. And people all the time will say, well, yes, that's what free will is. And I've tricked them. And I tell them, I'm going to trick you, or I tell them, I did trick you. Now, here's how. What I did was I offered the definition from a human perspective, not a divine one. See, God is a standard of righteousness, and God is a standard of holiness, and God is a standard of what free will is. Man, however, is not. So what I did was I said, does free will mean that a person, talking about men or women, is able to freely choose between good and evil and be able to accomplish those, and he chooses which one he wants? People say that's free. That's freedom. But is it? Because God himself cannot choose to do that which is evil. And yet, God is perfectly capable of having that freedom of will. So you see, he's not free to be able to do that which is bad. He can only operate within the confines of his holy nature. So free will ought to be properly described as, or defined as, the ability to make free choices that are not forced, that are also consistent with your nature. Now, if God arranges the circumstances for someone to exist, to be born with certain sets of parents, whatever, and a certain situation that arises where God knows that in that situation, the freedom that that person has, he will freely choose to rebel against God. Does God causing him to freely choose to rebel? Or is God allowing the circumstances to exist by his ordination by which the person then freely chooses to rebel? Well, it's the latter case because he freely chooses to rebel. And because it's a free choice to rebel, not a caused choice, therefore, by definition, it is free, and he's the one who's responsible for his own decision. Therefore, God can decree certain things to be, he can cause certain situations to be, but he can also have the result be what he desires in his permissive will, yet he's not the causation, the direct cause, of those people who choose of their own free will to rebel against him and do that which is contrary to his will. So some people say, well, Matt, that's a bit of devil speak. No, it's not. Let me read some scriptures to you. Would you agree with me that Jesus had free will? I certainly hope you would, because he certainly was not a robot, and he had the freedom to do as he desired. He's God in flesh. He has he's one person with two distinct natures, a divine and a human nature. It's called the hypostatic union. Now, this is what Jesus says in John 5:19. Truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Interesting. Jesus can do nothing of himself. Check this out, John 5:30. Jesus says, I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus is saying he can do nothing of his own initiative. Wait a minute. Doesn't he have free will? Yes, he does. But he can do nothing of his own initiative. This means, logically, necessarily, it means that Jesus, who had free will, could only do what the Father had ordained for him to do. Therefore, we see the freedom of Christ is combined and consistent with the decrees of God, because God the Father decreed what Christ would do. Because Jesus says he could do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. This means that the Father has certain things he wants the Son to do by his decree, direct and or indirect. And Jesus says, I can do nothing of my own initiative, John 5:30. And in John 8:28, Jesus says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And Jesus said this in John 8:29. He says, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus always does the will of the Father. Yet Jesus could do nothing of his own initiative. He could only do what the Father, what he saw the Father doing. This means Jesus was necessarily following the decrees and the prescriptive will of God as well as the permissive will of God. In that, he was freely choosing to do whatever he could do, but he could not do it his own initiative, yet he still had free will. This proves that compatibilism is true. In other words, the freedom of man in Christ is consistent with the decrees, predestination, and ordination of God. It's right there, John 5:19, John 5:30, John 8:28, John 8:29. And this is stuff that I think is interesting and worth looking at. I wanted to talk about this because there are people who don't understand how these things fit together, but they do fit together. This is what the scriptures teach. Jesus certainly had free will, and yet he could do nothing of his own initiative. His initiative, his will, was to do the will of the Father, and yet he was free. It's perfectly consistent with the decrees of God, with the will of God the Father, with the ordination of God the Father. Perfectly consistent, and yet Christ is still completely free, and God the Father is still completely sovereign. Amen and amen. There is the music for the break. We'll be right back after these messages, and we'll get to the three callers waiting. The Lord bless you. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the phones, or the the show, I should say. Let's get to Barry from Durham, North Carolina. Barry, welcome to the show. You're on.
Hello, can you hear me, Matt?
Yes, I can. I'm hearing you.
I got a little bit of feedback on my side, so if I have to ask you to repeat yourself, that's why.
No, you sound good.
So I have a question about Black Hebrew Israelites. I've been debating a woman at my job for about 2 months, where it does not matter what scripture you present. And I hate to say they, but it's almost similar to, it is a cult. I'm trying to figure out, is there any way that a person could have these beliefs and be saved? because I'm not seeing where we line up when it comes to salvation.
Well,
and so the person I'm talking to is telling me each day that I'm brainwashed by the church.
Okay.
And that I'm not, and I tell her I don't go to church. I just read my Bible, I pray, and I have developed, you know, I work on my relationship with Christ. She says that that's religious. So, and I'm telling her that what she's believing is a lot more religious than what I'm believing as far as living under the law.
Okay.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a lot there. One of the techniques in martial arts, or different kinds of martial arts, in Krav Maga, which mm-hmm. I took for years, what you do is when someone confronts you physically, you meet them with dead head on and destroy them. That's the idea. There's another martial arts, Aikido, which I've not taken. But what it does is it uses the energy of and motion of the person against them. And so I often think of martial arts this way, in that it depends on the style of what you want to do. What I recommend in a situation like this is to let them hang themselves. And it doesn't take much to do. So if they say, well, you know, that's just religion, I'd say, well, I don't have any problem with that. Is that wrong? And why is it wrong? So they made a statement. You're asking for further information. Instead of confronting them and denying stuff, what I would do is say, well, okay, well, why is that wrong? And what's going to happen is, and I mean this metaphorically, they're handing a little rope to you. And you keep asking questions. Okay, so they might say, well, that's just religion. Is religion bad? Because is Christianity a religion? Is a Black Hebrew Israelite movement a religion? Is it? No, it's not. Not a religion. Let's define what religion is. Could you define that for me? Let's just see, because I don't want to use a bad term if it's not the right thing to do. So maybe you can help me.
So you're saying ask questions so that the more questions you ask, the more they give you to your cue.
That's what I do all the time with people. And I will also answer questions, and I will go on the attack. I can certainly do both. But the issue is that sometimes what you have to do with people who are so hard-headed, who don't listen, who have an agenda, I ask questions. How do you know this? Please explain that. I want them to hang themselves. And they don't realize it, that what they're going to do is they're going to provide the rope for me to hang them with. And this is not...
That kind of makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, it's true.
One of the things that happens similar to what you're saying is we were talking about Noah's children, because I said at the end of the day, we all have the same roots. We're all of the human race. And she claimed that because the law wasn't given to certain Jewish, descendants or whatever, that they were not under the law, therefore they could not sin. So my question was, so you're saying that there's a person that cannot sin and it's not Christ? And she said, yes. But once we get to that point, they change the subject. They want to pull out another scripture. They're jumping back and forth. I got laughed at by three of them. They literally laughed in my face when I told them that Christ was Lord and all you had to do was believe.
What you could do is you could offer them to debate me live online. Have one at a time debate.
I would love that.
And I would have no problem with that. I know someone, Vocab Malone, who's in the Phoenix area, who's an expert on BHI. And so he's the guy that I would call up if I wanted to have information that I wanted to be taught. But I know enough to be able to argue and handle a lot of things. So if these guys want to debate me, that's fine. You can say, hey, there's a guy in the radio, or we can do it on a Tuesday night. I'm thinking about starting doing a regular thing on Tuesday nights where we have debates and we have interactions.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
And if they laugh, say, well, I don't know, are you afraid? And you could say things like, this guy's a white guy. Wouldn't it be a good opportunity for you, the Black Hebrew Israelites, to destroy this white guy? I mean, you know, if they want to play the race card, okay, well then, go ahead. Now, one of the things I would ask them is, do they say that, because there are different versions of BHI, are white people of the devil? I would ask them, are they of the devil?
So, she believes that, and I'm a Black person, obviously, and I don't agree with any of that, but she believes that white people will be the slaves of the true Black Hebrew.
Okay.
She doesn't believe that there's a hell. So whatever scriptures that I might show her, who is that written to? Who is this written to? So it's almost like, even if you have something as plain as day, like saved alone, through grace by faith. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
She could take that and twist it into something else. And I get a little emotional about it because I really had them laugh in my face and taught me. And these women are 10 to 15 years older than me. I'm only 30. Some of them were 40, 45. And I've never had a situation where we disagree on something like religion, but we don't respect each other.
I tell you what.
You know what I mean?
I understand. Yes, I do.
Sorry.
No problem. And I know that you're energized by this. This is a real frustration. It does take a little practice.
Is.
Part of this is art of how to do things, and part of it is just knowledge and putting them together. It takes practice. So see if they will debate me. Say we can have a topic according to the Bible. New Testament, let's say, is the law necessary to be saved? You have to keep commandments in order to be saved. Something simple. Or how is it that white people are going to be black people's slave? I mean, I'll debate that. And we can go through these things.
Okay.
And so I've written on slavery.
Well,
go ahead.
I'll ask her if there's whoever, she's going to these weekly meetings where somebody is training and brainwashing her into these beliefs.
Course.
She's going to tell me that if I offer this to her, she's female, she's probably not going to feel comfortable because they're super religious about certain things.
Tell her to get some guys together, and I'd be glad to debate them. But what's happening, BHI is strict racism. It's strictly racism.
Yes.
So what I like to tell people is, and I mean this isn't just something on the radio, I say, and I mean it, there is only one race. It's the human race. And that is it. And different people of different color and sizes and shapes, it's all one human race. That's how I look at it. And I'm dead serious about that. Now, I've got three daughters, and they're attracted to black guys. I don't care. If they want to marry a black guy, that's fine. It doesn't bother me as long as they're good men. That's all I care about, good, godly men. That's all. And I believe that, and that's what I promote. But there's so much racism going on and sensitivity and oversensitivity. It's ridiculous. I call them diaperinians. They're diaperinians because they go, wah. Yeah, just grow up and go with the scriptures. I'd be glad to debate them, see if you can set it up, okay?
Definitely will. One thing I'll say before I let you go, I'm sorry, I know I've held you a while, is that one thing that I say to people when it comes to race is when you're sick in the hospital or you need a blood transfusion, never heard anybody screaming for race. They just want a blood that matches theirs because really they know that that's not sufficient enough.
Well, that's a good point.
All right, so I'm at
that's a good point. Okay, well, God bless. Thanks. Okay. That was Barry from Durham, North Carolina. Folks, you have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. And just letting you know that we are doing double, what's it called? Oh, matching funds. Oh, man. We're having a guy who is helping us raise funds. And so what he'll do is match whatever it is that you give. So if you give 100, he'll match 100. If you give 5, he'll match 5. If you give $5 $5 a month, we just automatically calculate that for a whole month, for a whole year. If you do $5 a month, that's $60 a year. Then he'll help us out with $60. So in other words, it's a matching fund thing we're doing this month. So if you want to help us with matching fund or attempt to help raise money, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate. carm.org/donate. You can help us out. We would love that. Let's get to Gavin from Cleveland, Ohio. Gavin, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing today?
By God's grace, I'm doing well. What's up?
Awesome. We had talked not that long ago about the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, and I've been looking at it for a little while, and I'm still having trouble seeing how it's not some kind of dual fulfillment, because the verses that come directly after 14 seem to say that the child that will be born before he knew between good and evil that the kings that were troubling Ahab would be done away with. So I'm curious to see how okay. you'd interpret the next couple verses after that.
Well, we've got to understand that the way prophecy works is that sometimes you get a whole bunch of prophecy, and other times you only get a verse in it, for example. So if we were to go to Psalm 69, for example, and what we have there is an account of having brothers, I think it's, yes, I have become estranged from my mother's and an alien to my mother's sons, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and approaches for those who repute you have given me. When I wept in my soul and with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth, wait a minute, because Psalm 69, verse 8 through 9, is allusion, not illusion, but allusion is relating to it, talking about the issue of the work of the brothers of Christ. And so messianic psalm, and that's Psalm 69. Man, I'm having trouble today. So if you read it, what you'll understand is that you'll find that certain verses about the verses are extracted by the Holy Spirit, where you might have five or six verses, it might take three, in between certain things, and then it will apply to the person or the situation in the New Testament. This is how it is done. And it happens a lot. When you go to Isaiah 7:14, that particular issue is part of the methodology of how prophecy is word and worked, I should say, and then extracted and propelled into the New Testament and then decreed, how it is that it's supposed to work at the time. It's kind of hard to explain. But in other words, you might have several verses, you take one part in the middle of that, it is applied to the New Testament, and it works. So you don't have to have the whole context in the earlier context in order for it to work. That makes sense.
So do you think that verse itself didn't have a context? I mean, like a direct, or like...
Of course it does.
The right word.
Of course.
Well, I'm
yeah,
saying, like, you don't think that there was any child born during the time of Ahab? According to that verse.
No, of course not. I mean, we understand that certain things apply in certain situations. It's part of the methodology and the method that the Holy Spirit uses in order to get people to be used to the Scriptures, where it takes certain things out of the Scriptures, puts them into a certain place, and that is exactly what it is that you're supposed to be understanding as a prophecy. It's like this. How you have fallen from heaven, O star, from the morning sun of the dawn, you've cut down from the earth. Now, this is Isaiah 14. You've said in your heart, I will mount aside to heaven, etc., etc. I will make myself. Nevertheless, you will thrust down to heaven, to the recesses of the pit, that is. Those who see you will gaze at you, etc., etc. You who shook the kingdoms, who made the world like the wilderness and like overthrow its cities. Well, that's suddenly not talking about Satan, but it certainly looks as though it is Satan being spoken of. So there you have this context. There's another example of it. The context is extracted out of another context, and that's what's applied to Christ. I mean, Christ. That's applied to the evil one there. So,
couldn't it in that sense be like a dual meaning, though, in that?
It can happen.
It's applied to the king in Isaiah 14, but also to Satan.
Yes, it could be in Isaiah 14, yes, because when we look at it, we go to different things. It cannot be that it's the king. It has to be others. I will ascend into heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Yeah. It certainly looks like it's the devil himself. So a lot of people see that as being that, but even though it is a type of typology about the king as well. So yes, it absolutely happens. And Isaiah 7:14, the same kind of thing works. Behold, a virgin will be with child, you know, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Well, that is clearly applied in the New Testament in Matthew 1:23. We see that. And so under the Holy Spirit, what happens is the New Testament writers would take that verse under the inspiration of the Spirit, take that and say, this is applying to Christ. And that's what was going on. And so it can be a double fulfillment. sometimes. Yep.
Right. I mean, I guess the way I'm seeing Isaiah 7:14 is how some people, including me, see Matthew 24. Because if you're reading through it, it seems to talk about the destruction of the temple, but yep. at the same time, the end of time itself. So I guess that's kind of how I've been seeing Isaiah 7:14, is that it had a context then with the king, mm-hmm. but it also is speaking of a future as well.
Yeah. And then are you familiar with partial preterism? Do you know what partial preterism is?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
Okay, so I'm a partial preterist in that I hold to the idea that Matthew 24, Luke 17, that what happened there, a lot of it was fulfilled then, and will also, a lot of it will be fulfilled again. And so
right.
we see a double fulfillment, and that's called partial preterism. Full preterism is not biblical, but partial is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, right. No, I agree with you on that. Can I ask you one more thing?
Sure, real fast.
Mm-hmm. It goes along with this. So how would you see, like, Psalm 2? Would you see that as, like, it had a context with, you know, coronation of a king, but also its final fulfillment in God's Son?
Yeah.
Or would you say that's just about Jesus?
Well, look what it says. You know, I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Well, there's a
right.
sense in which that could be spoken of a king. But it's also
right.
a sense to be spoken of the Messiah. Because the what we have
right,
to understand
exactly.
is the Old Testament is about Christ, as Jesus prophesied in John 5:39. The scriptures are about him. So
right.
I believe that a lot of times this stuff is written in such a way that only those who hear the Spirit of God will understand what's happening and how certain things are extracted out of the Old Testament. I believe, this is my opinion, that certain things are written so that those who don't have eyes to see and ears to hear will not see and will not hear. So that there's reasons. And that's why Jesus says in John, in my opinion, in Mark 4:10-12, where he speaks in parables so people will not be forgiven. He specifically says that's why he speaks
right.
in parables, not to be forgiven. And it blows a lot of people away. But that's the case. So he speaks in such a way to hide certain things. So I think that there's a possibility of that because, and it just makes sense, because they're not decreed and ordained for salvation. And so this is why it happens like
right.
that. That's the only explanation I can come up with that makes sense. Otherwise, it's a guessing game. Okay.
I have a document I've been working on. Trying to find, trying to match up a pattern between Isaiah 7-11 with the New Testament. I'm wondering if I could send that to you and get your take
sure.
on it if you got any time.
Please do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd like to see it. Okay.
Just info at Carm.
info@carm.org, yeah. And hopefully I'll get
okay.
to it because
cool.
I have
well,
lots
thanks,
of emails. But okay, good, man. Club.
Yeah,
God bless.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a lot of stuff, that's right.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, we've got a break coming up here in a minute, so we'll see. But the number is 877-207-2276. I have office phone numbers and other phone numbers in my head, so I have to do the whole thing. 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Give me a call. Be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Just also letting you know that we're doing a matching funds drive through the end of the year. If you want to help us out, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate, and whatever you donate new. Whatever you give new from here on out for the rest of this year, it will be matched. So if you give 100, it'll be matched with another 100. If you do $10 a month that you commit to, we'll count it as a whole year, and that will come in and get matched. So just want to let you know, all you have to do is go to carm.org, carm.org/donate, and all the information will be right there. All right, let's get to Samantha from Richmond, Virginia. Samantha, welcome to the air. You're on the air, that is.
Thank you, and sure. Just letting you know I'm still praying for you and your wife.
Good, thank you. We need it.
So I just thinking about it and going to ask you gives me the heebie-jeebies. Early Sunday morning, I went to let my cat out because she just had to go outside. Mm-hmm. I heard what I thought was my neighbor's TV on. And I was like, oh, the neighbors fell asleep with the TV loud. And I didn't think anything of it. Went inside, went back outside on the side door. And I just kept hearing the same sentence over and over and over again. And it was in Spanish, and I could kind of make out a couple words. So I walked over to, I know this is going to sound weird, but I walked over to the door. It was, the noise was coming, the sound was coming from an unplugged cable wire, and it kind of sounded like a demonic chant. It scared me so bad.
Do you remember
I ran
any of the
back
words?
Into my house.
Do you remember any of the
I
words?
I didn't hear. The only thing I can remember is it saying todos, which I guess that means all of us
todos,
or everything.
Yeah. It's all, yes.
Yeah, so I was like, and so I tried to get the rest of what it was saying, but for some reason that just word kept sticking. And I was like, well, maybe it's the TV. And I'm like, no, it's saying the same exact thing over and over and over again. And it just sounded really creepy. And I'm like, okay. It's coming from an unplugged cable wire.
But that's not unheard of. People have received radio transmissions in their mouth based upon braces and or fillings. Weird kind of things. It's very rare. That kind of stuff has happened. People have been able to hear things in their ears because of things in their mouth. I also know that you can have radio transmissions, TV transmissions that can be picked up under rare but the right conditions where wires can vibrate into a certain frequency with a certain amount of electricity going in, or sometimes without so much, and you can kind of hear things. And it can happen. So what I always do is I always look for the natural explanation first. Now, if you're hearing, you know, something in Spanish, you know, todos, which means all of them, and you're hearing things, and then you watch your cat levitate across the floor, you know, then you know something's up, all right? But for the most part, probably what's happening is there's just an electrical something going on. Seriously.
Okay, good, because I was so freaked out. I ran upstairs, and I started, I went to your website, actually, mm-hmm. and I was, like, reading all of your, you know, things about, you know, demonic voices, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm just going to pray.
Well, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. You know, I've had friends who have said they've seen objects move in their homes. I've never seen that happen. I've been involved in the occult before I became a Christian. I've seen things manifest and lights move and a cross materialize and move across the room. I've seen it in my own eyes. No drugs, no alcohol, and with a witness. But, you know, things like this are real and things like this do happen. But I remember back in the day, and I don't remember exactly how this worked, but before I became a Christian, I was involved in, I hate to admit this, but I was involved in necromancy, trying to contact the dead and trying to contact spirits. I remember mm-hmm. it very, very clearly. And I'm very ashamed of it, but this is my history. And by God's grace, He saved me. And so we were doing what's called table tilting. And we were over someone's house, and we actually heard audible sounds in the room when everything was turned off. We actually heard words. I remember this very clearly. And so they were all freaking out because it was clear, but very, very, very
yeah.
faint. I had my young ears at the time, and you could just barely hear it out. And I said, no, listen to what it is. And we figured out what it was. It took about 10 minutes. Somebody was on their ham radio a few doors down, and we were able to hear because of his transmission was so powerful, we were able to hear something resonating inside the house. And there was a way that we were able to, I forgot how it worked, but we actually heard this. I actually did it with my own ears once where we heard it. So that phenomena occurred like that. Weird, but it can happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it is what it is, but you know what? Don't worry about it. You see,
okay, good.
If God allows things to happen, let's just say hypothetically that he allows a bad thing like that to happen in your home. Well, then we have to understand what the reason would be. And if he allows it, he's not allowing it because he wants to harm you, but he's allowing it because of a development, because of some occultic participation by somebody else who's opened up a door, and that could influence you and have an influence in the home. Then it would cause you to have to study, read the word, and pray, and deal with it on that kind of a level. And you could only benefit from it if you keep your eyes, your mind, your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times what people think is because something demonic might be happening that they have to be filled with such great fear. No, you don't. And I remember when I started my studies on Wicca, and I was, you know, for research and comparing it and exposing it as the false thing that it was. Well, the day that I got the books, that evening, I got all these books in my mail, that night I had a horrendously bad nightmare. It was the kind you wake up gasping, you know. It took minutes to calm down. It was that terrifying. And then a couple of days later, the right rear tire of my car exploded on the freeway. And then I'm a very good swimmer. I always have been a very good swimmer, just have. And I was on the river. And in a raft, and I got thrown from a raft and flew about 6-8 feet and landed on rocks in the middle of the river, the only place where there's rocks just under the water. It's the weirdest thing. We still don't know how it happened. And you know, so if God's going to allow it, then God's going to allow it. I was not afraid or fearful during those times. It's like, God, this is what you're doing. I know you have it for a reason. And it's just a fight. And sometimes what we have to realize as Christians that we have to fight. We have to fight on our knees. We have to fight with our heads bowed. We have to fight with the words of Scripture. Fight with prayer. It doesn't mean that all these bad things are going to happen, our car is going to levitate, and our cat's going to start talking to us in English. It doesn't mean that. So there's no reason to be fearful. There's no reason. I remember once, this true story, I remember, and it's all subjective, I'm not offering this as proof of anything, but I remember it very, very clearly. And I've been married 33 years, and this happened a couple or 3 years before I was married. And I forgot how long, but you know, it was a long time, 35, 37 years ago, whatever. My friend Dave and I were roommates, and we did a lot of work against cults and false things by setting up booths once a week on Saturdays. We did it for well over a year and a half together. And so we were just attacking in the spiritual realm with prayer, with giving out literature, with going out to where the enemy would be and trying to make inroads of truth. And we became a target. I know we became a target of various demonic things. One night, I remember very clearly that I was laying in bed and going to sleep, and I still remember it so clearly that I don't know how I knew, but to this day I still believe it. There were three demonic forces that were just there, and I was afraid. And it was the weirdest thing. I remember thinking, this can't be real. I don't see anything. I just sense it. But I was afraid. And I remember, you know, it's like I could tell where they were, but I couldn't see anything. Now, maybe it was just bad pizza, but it really had an effect on me, and I decided to not be fearful, and I decided to go to sleep. And I went to sleep so quickly. It does not make any sense in that situation. I believe it was supernatural. I got up the next morning and I told my roommate about what had happened that night. And he said to me, he goes, look, I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't think anything about it, but I got to tell you what happened. And he told me that 2 weeks earlier, that he was in bed and he woke up with bad dream of suffocating so badly. And he told me that he was so wrapped up in his sheets so tightly that he had trouble inhaling. It was like a snake, like a boa constrictor around him, compressing on his chest. I mean, he could not hardly breathe. And so I'm on the other side of the apartment, so we couldn't yell to get each other, because it was just, that's how the situation was. And he told me it took about 20 minutes for him to work himself loose. Now, that's extremely unusual. And so these kinds of things would happen. And we had situations at the swap meet that we did for years where strange things would just occur every now and then. People out of nowhere giving us things, telling us things, pronouncing things. When you are doing something for the Lord, very often the doors open for you to step through. But a lot of times there's a resistance. And I like to say to people that if things happen in their homes, there's no need to be fearful. But what you do is, with confidence, you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you ask God, why is this occurring? What's the reason? What do you want me to learn? And then you go into prayer. And people have to realize that in this kind of a battle, in this kind of war, that what often happens is things get bad. Your tire explodes. You fall out of a on the boat, on the little, what's it called, raft thing, when you shouldn't be able to. Just odd things. And is that a reason to be fearful? Why? Not at all. It just happens. But it's okay, because you can trust God. And I don't understand why people are so afraid of the demonic forces, in all seriousness. We have Jesus Christ. So if things are happening in your home, which I'm not saying they are, well, okay, you start praying. You get people involved, you start praying. You have to have that confidence. That confidence. Jesus is on your side, and you have Jesus. In fact, it reminds me, I've had people tell me that they're going to put curses on me. That I've had people in Wicca, I've had people in Satanist stuff, various groups and things, say they purposely have said they're going to put curses on me and send their forces upon me to destroy me. And I've warned them. I says, you don't want to do that. I says, you don't know what's going to happen, because I'm going to pray that what you desire happens to me will happen to you. I'll pray imprecatory, like Psalms, where in the Psalms, judgment comes upon those who are evil. And you know what happens? They stop praying that way. I've had it happen a lot. So have confidence, okay? We're out of time.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. God bless. Thanks for listening. Okay.
How about you, too?
All right. Hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. May the Lord bless you greatly. And talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.